a man that used to believe it named Arminian. It's called Arminianism, what's contrary to that, what we believe. That you had a free will, God saved everybody. For it to be applicable to you, you got to accept what he did. That makes perfect sense. But see, they pit now Calvinism against Arminianism. You see, what they do is they make the truth another doctrine. You see the trick? See, this is Calvinism here. You're in the Arminian camp. So that's just another doctrine. But see, Calvinism is right, but Arminianism is wrong. So they make truth another doctrine based on the name of a man. That is the mind of a philosopher, a Gnostic mind. You only got a lot of opinions and data floating around, but you never get to absolute truth. Arminius actually began as a Calvinist. And he began to look at it. He, as a matter of fact, he debated a man that was not a Calvinist. And the man convinced him, man, we're wrong. And he changed. And you know, in Holland, people were killed over this. To become free from Calvinism said you were a heretic. And folk were actually beheaded over it. And it had a big uproar. They threw people out of Holland because of it. This is real. If you know what it does to you. Think about it. All of us in here believe that God just saved us at the expense of everybody else. What does that have to do by nature? It's going to make you proud. That's what you run up against in Baptist churches. They're proud. You feel that spirit? It's a proud spirit. Won't bow the knee to Christ. They depend on seminary education. Mental ascension to salvation. It's a demon called Calvinism. Know it. Know what you're dealing with. Don't be shocked by it. That's one of the roughest demons down here. It's a boneheaded, stiff-necked, proud spirit that will not bow the knee to Christ because we worship Calvin. This is so sinister. Then when you really study it all and look at it, this thing has got people tied down to the pits of hell, the bowels of hell. It's going to take a Holy Ghost explosion to set them free. Demons of doctrinal error have been known to identify themselves by the name of the leader who fosters the error. In such cases, the demonic soul ties clearly identified. We talked about shepherding movement with Derek Prince, Bob Mumford, Don Basham, Charles Simpson, and later on Ern Batson, how it led people down that road of shepherding. These guys repented of them. All of them realized we taken a wrong turn at the fork of the road. We got to back this train up and let people know this junk is crazy. Because the ramifications of it are still being felt to this very day. You still got folks tied to this covering. My pastor is my covering. Afraid to walk out of the church and be themselves and actually save souls. Won't even have a little family Bible study at home for the neighborhood. I'm fighting with everything I know to try to get folks to start operating in the Spirit of God. Get a little local Bible study going. Go down to the civic center or the library and get a room. Get your little 10-person group and examine the scripture. Be fruitful and multiply. Stop sitting around somewhere listening to some guy talk. That has its place in a teaching environment, but you should be taught and expressive. What good is amalgamation of a bunch of folk together and data presentation all day with no actualization of what's being taught on the street? A brain surgeon is useless sitting in Yale all the time learning about brain surgery. I got a brain tumor. Can you operate on me? You see what I'm saying? That's why it says ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Cause and effect, they were captivated by some old drag binding silly women to himself. They can't leave the church because they're personality worshipers. This is what 2 Timothy is really all about, chapter 3. He's telling you what happens. They came in unawares, in a stealth fashion, gathered in silly women, bow them to themselves. They're always learning, can't come to the truth, because they're bound to the personality of the pastor or the preacher or whoever it is. Happens the same way with women. Paula White, Juanita Bynum, all these folk calling themselves pastors and can't be because of gender specifics that are actually designed to actually operate in the pastoral calling. You can't be a pastor as a woman because of gender specification for the office. They don't like that. I don't care if you don't like that. That's what the Bible says. We're not going to be apologetic about what the Bible tells us. We got to walk in it. I don't say that with anger or malice. You're just deceived. I told the lady she was deceived one time. She asked me, why was I calling her names? How's that a name? That's a state of being. If I weigh 575 pounds and you call me fat, that's not a name. That's a state of being. If you believe a lie, you're deceived. Why are you calling me names? At that point, you said, well, look, can you just pass me the hot sauce? I'm ready to defry right now, whatever. But see, you can't get past a mind that has an altered way and a perverted way of thinking. Unless God restores the Gadarene mind in Mark chapter 5, the Gadarene demoniac can't think clearly because he's not in his right mind. We deal with a lot of people that are not in their right minds. You got to understand. See, we got to come clear with this, y'all. We got to stop fooling around with trying to understand something that you know by nature is something wrong here. They need prayer. They need help outside of themselves. Influence of like spirits. How do demons enter into soul ties? Evil spirits are able to enter when spiritual boundaries are violated. God has set boundaries which govern our relationships with others. God has given man a nature to love and to live in association with others, but God has set boundaries for all such relationships. For example, there are protective boundaries set by God for marriage. A man is to forsake all others and be joined to his wife. There are similar limitations which govern friendships and bonds within the body of Christ. When relationships within any given area disregard the boundaries which God has established, the relationships become perverse and demons enter. In other words, fleshly soul ties become demonic soul ties. Through soul ties, a spiritual channel is formed. For example, in a godly marriage, the Holy Spirit flows between husband and wife so that revelations and workings of the Holy Spirit are held in common between a man and his wife. The two become one through the influence of the Holy Spirit on their lives. The same principle operates in demonic soul ties. When there is a sinful joining of two individuals, demon spirits in one person open up the other person for similar spirits, and the two become one. You walk in the same spirit as the spirit of the person you join to. The power of soul ties. The power of soul ties is reflected in two important words of the Greek New Testament: joined and fellowship. Joined. The word joined is used in relation to marriage. In Ephesians 5:31, we are told that a man is to be joined unto his wife. The literal meaning in Greek is to cleave, stick to, glue, or cement. Good night. You can't get rougher than that. Another use of joined is found in Matthew 19:16. For we are told concerning marriage, therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate. Joined can be translated as yoked together. You know, like you yoke oxen together to plow a field. Within marriage, one can plumb the heights and depths of human relationship. The soul tie between husband and wife is pure and satisfying. The times of coming together can be a ministry to one another under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If, however, the husband introduces oral or anal sex, sodomy, into the relationship, then another spirit is introduced, and the wife becomes defiled by the transference of the unclean spirit in him to herself. This was written in 1988. We're talking almost 24 years ago. Oral and anal sodomy. So I didn't make it up. It is what it is. And what we're finding is not always the husband that introduces it. Right. Women introduce it to the marriage bed. And an unclean spirit governs that home. And you got two sodomites sitting in church on Sunday morning, calling themselves saints, defiled by demons. The word joined is also used in relationship to the church. Ephesians 4:16 speaks of the whole body joined and knit together. Again, in 1 Corinthians 1:10, we read, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." The church is one body. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. 1 Corinthians 12:26. That is, whatever happens to one member affects the other members of the body. You see that when somebody dies in a church. You see how it has ripple effects into every home and every member. Because that person is a member of the body, you have the impact of the death of a family member come upon you. Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Therefore, when a church member engages in sexual immorality, Christ, the head, is affected. Christ is affected by the church member's sexual immorality. And each member of the body is affected. This is the reason that there must be church discipline in such matters to remove any unrepentant sinner. For example, the man in the Corinthian church who was living incestuously was to be excommunicated. Paul explained, "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump." 1 Corinthians 5:6-7. We have known of churches whose members fell into sexual sin in wholesale fashion. They fell into sexual sin in wholesale fashion. A spirit of fornication ruled those churches. Perhaps it was a pastor who first fell into adultery, but it could have been any member of the body who committed the sin. Since each member is joined to the other members, when one sins, the whole body is affected. So you got to get out the malignant tumor before the tumor spreads and everybody gets cancer. Furthermore, the word joined describes our relationship with Christ. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Just as a husband or wife can commit adultery against his or her spouse, a person can commit spiritual adultery against the Lord. Idolatry is spiritual harlotry. Every occult practice is an expression of idolatry. For by participating in anything occult, a person goes outside his relationship with God to receive forbidden knowledge, wisdom, guidance, or power. The person who has relationship with idols is said to have joined himself to that idol. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, an idol of Moab, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, Numbers 25:3. Remember, Maisha did a video on Baal Peor some years ago. Baal Peor is the Lord of the breach, the Lord of the opening, referring to the vaginal cavity. Israel joined themselves to people, Moabites, that worship the woman's physical countenance and her vagina. That's what you see standing up at the Super Bowl. That's what you see in music videos. That's what you see in strip joints. The vagina is now Lord. Man is so depraved and so crazy, he can lower himself to actually worship the vaginal cavity, i.e. Playboy, Penthouse, Hustler, porno magazines, movies, anything just to be able to see a vagina. A guy will kill you in a strip joint just to be able to look up into a vagina over him, undulating in his face. This is the definition of insanity. You have been driven insane. They joined themselves also to Baal Peor and ate sacrifices made to the dead. Psalms 106:28. That's what oral sex is. When you partake in oral sex, you're eating of a body that's been sacrificed to Satan, who is the Lord of the dead. He is Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, the dunghill. He says in Hosea 4:17, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Leave him alone. That which is joined to idols, leave them alone. You can always tell when somebody's a little bit off and they're mentally incapacitated by idolatry, because they just act cotton picking strange. They can't really interact with the body functionally. They're always around kind of like in this haze because their minds are not anchored in Christ. When a person goes to a fortune teller, he joins himself to that occult practitioner by a spiritual connection and therefore commits spiritual adultery. By spiritual adultery, a spiritual soul tie is formed. Through occult involvement, one has spiritual intercourse with demons. So when you deal with fortune telling, necromancy, any kind of divination, if you have Beyonce on the stage, and the whole crowd is enthralled with Beyonce, you create a soul tie with the members of the crowd and with Beyonce. And folks can become so enamored with Beyonce, they will forsake Christ for Beyonce. This thing is powerful. It's strong. Fanatics are really fans. See, fan is short for fanatic. So when you're a Beyonce fan, you're a Beyonce fanatic. And you shouldn't be fanatical about anybody. But see, concerts and entertainment are actually worship ceremonies. The demon, the Nephilim that lives in Beyonce, is commanding the subjects that worship it to worship him through Beyonce. She is just a what? A channel. A vehicle of expression. He uses the undulating hips and the pretty face and the singing to draw you and mesmerize you. So you worship it. See, it's not a human. It's a thing. It's a person, but it's not human. She is just a tool, a vessel. In voodoo down in Haiti, they call it being ridden. They call it like, they talk about like you ride a horse. They ask the demon to come ride me. Let the big man come ride me. Let the big man come ride me. I want him to ride me. And boy, they take them and wring them out like wet rags, turn them into snakes, make them do all kinds of things. You get a shape-shifting demon can actually change you to another shape, change you into an animal, give you the ability to fly. All this stuff is real, man. If you open your soul up to these things to ride you, man, they will take you over and drive you insane. You think you're doing something to give an allegiance to some pastor somewhere, that demon is riding you. And it will drive you crazy. And you know when you feel the impact of it? You know when you feel the impact of demonic possession? When you try to leave it. Just like that no good joker you try to leave in the world. You thought it was all right till you told him it was over. And then you saw his countenance change right before your very eyes. Remember it says in Daniel when the Hebrew boys went bow to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, the Bible says his what changed? His visage, his face changed from a smile to a scowl, to anger. Throw him into the fiery furnace then. Because you won't do what I said and you won't worship me. And you change. And that's how the devil is. As long as you do his bidding, He's all right with you. But don't try to leave my harem. Don't try to leave my stable, whore. Folks better wake up and realize this is a spiritual war. And what initiates it and ignites it is fasting and prayer. When you begin to pull away from the devil through fasting and prayer, when you separate from him and the gulf begins to widen between you and him, he's going to respond violently.
That's right.
That's why the violent take it by force. With the same measure of violence the devil responds, you come even more violently against him.
Yes.
And refuse to bow.
Yes.
Somebody got to go, and it ain't going to be me.
That's right.
I used to tell folks in church when we had church on Sunday regularly on formalized church worship services, I said, now what's going to happen through praise and worship, the preaching of the word, and you going through the process, the devil's going to leave. Now you got two choices. The devil can leave with you, or the devil can leave without you. Make up your mind which one it's going to be. Because the thing in you is going to rise up.
Yes, it is.
It's going to tell you we need to get out of here. Because you're not going to find a perfect environment. Everybody goes through deliverance, from me to you to everybody. Stop looking for perfection and get on with you getting changed and transformed and getting right.
That's right.
There is nothing from without a man that can defile a man. My only problem is on the inside of me.
That's right.
So therefore I cannot do what?
Blame
anybody. Point a finger at somebody else. You got three pointing right back at you, telling you it's a 3-to-1 odd that you are the problem. To you, no, you, me, I did it to myself. You can't have power over me unless I give it to you. So how can I blame somebody else for what they did to me? You went out with him. You slept with him. Now you blame him for the AIDS. If you had been at home, not in the street, acting a fool, whoring around, you never have it. You can't blame anybody for your own demise. We have fellowship with Christ through his sacrifice on the cross. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. 1 Corinthians 10:16-17. The Greek word fellowship means communion, partaking together, sharing in common, common union, communion. As we all break off of the same loaf of bread. This is the way you really took communion back in the church when it started. They passed a loaf of bread around. You broke off a piece of the loaf. So the one bread being broken off, everybody had a common union through the bread. You had one chalice of one big container of wine poured into different little cups. We're drinking from the same cup, eating from the same loaf of bread. Jesus was called the bread of life come down from heaven. You're partaking of the bread of life. You know, the word is the bread, and the blood is symbolic of the life of the Spirit. My blood carries the New Testament. That's the Spirit. Remember, he said, this is the blood of the New Testament in my blood. So the New Testament is the Holy Ghost. So you got the blood housing the Spirit, and the bread signifying the body. So you commune by the death of his body and the ingestion of his blood to live. It's resurrection and life to commune. Jesus was the bread from heaven, born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means the city of bread. He baked and came out of the oven, which was Mary in Bethlehem. A loaf of bread came out of Mary in a little stable, in a manger, in the city of bread. God always aligns himself exactly with what he's doing. Then he called himself the bread of life. I've been baked, and I'm fresh out of the oven, little Mary, in Bethlehem. All right, now, he says, we become one body by partaking together of the one bread, which is Christ, who is broken for us. When we sit at the Lord's table and partake of the bread and the wine of communion, we are partaking of his sacrifice. This is fellowship based on our sharing his sacrificial death for the atonement of our sins. We have fellowship with demons through idolatry. What happens when we participate in an idolatrous activity such as hypnotism, the Ouija board, astrology, or divination? We have set at another table, the table of idols. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. 1 Corinthians 10, 14 and 21. How does the Lord feel about our fellowship with demons? We provoke the Lord to jealousy. 1 Corinthians 10, 22. If a wife goes out with another man, the husband is jealous. Likewise, a Christian's affair with another spirit provokes the Lord to jealousy. Soul ties made through occult involvement must be renounced and destroyed. Husbands and wives who truly become one flesh will think alike, act alike, and may even begin to look alike. God's word says that when people are joined to idols, they become like their idols. Psalms 115, 4 through 8. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. So you become blind, deaf, dumb, unable to smell, unable to think, because you're absorbed into the idol. So you're blocked. You got cholesterol blocking the flow of the spirit into you because you're an idolater. They become stone and wood without natural affections, the Bible says. Breaking demonic soul ties. Through our study, we have come to see that demonic soul ties are indeed prevalent and more far-reaching than we may have supposed. As evil soul ties are identified, what can be done to reverse their power? First, repentance toward God is necessary. God's ordinances have been violated. Lust has taken us beyond the boundaries of purity which the Lord set for us. Even if the sin was committed in ignorance, it still requires forgiveness. Ask God now to forgive you for each perverse soul tie which you have created. Second, spoil the devil's house by taking back all that he has gained against you. Confess before God that Satan has no further legal right to you. Declare each demonic soul tie that you have identified is now destroyed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, command the evil spirits associated with the soul ties to leave you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Note, be as specific as possible when breaking soul ties. Soul ties are formed with each person with whom one has had sexual relationships outside of marriage. Name each sexual partner by name and verbally renounce the ties with each one. Are there soul ties with animals? Are there any wrong ties with family members? Are there abnormal ties with pastors or people within the body of Christ? Have spiritually perverse soul ties been created through association with occultists such as diviners, astrologers, witches, charmers, mediums, necromancers, hypnotists, ear piercers, Exodus 21:5-6, tattoo artists, Leviticus 19:28, blood covenanters, or unholy vows with Freemasons, fraternity brothers, or sorority sisters? Ask for and accept God's forgiveness for each evil soul tie that you ever formed. In the name of Jesus, command all demons associated with perverse soul ties to go. That's Soul Ties by Frank Hammond. We have read the whole book, all 15 pages. Now you can tell everybody you read Soul Ties. But let me admonish you, Impact Books on the internet, they have a series of 15 to 20 of Frank Hammer's books, I think for $129 or something like that. Pigs in the Parlor, Deliverance from Demons, Soul Ties, Dealing with Rejection. It's a whole catalog of his books. And they're just about like I read them here today, as far as clearly written, easy to understand, because we can make no bones about it. The end time is going to be replete with demonic wars. We've got to fight. Tonight, we war with the demons. It's just that simple. We war with the demons. It's funny, when you deal with seminary and stuff like that, because I'm taking some classes now on biblical counseling, how they go all around the mulberry bush about problems. But I keep looking at it and say, you know, they missed the very essence of the problem, the demons. They deal with everything but the demons. They even, you know, draw from psychological and psychiatric work from the world and try to intersperse that into the thing, saying, well, we can draw some things from what they've taught. You can't bring that over here. They won't deal with the demons because they have been bound by the demons in religion and they have no power. If you want power from God, you know one of the best ways to get power from God? Deal with the demons. God don't run from demons. He'll get with anybody that'll fight demons. You got to be a dragon slayer in this. I'm not running from demons. I'm looking for them. I get several calls all the time from different people dealing with demons. I said, look, first thing you do is calm down. This ain't a movie. See, the first inclination is to think of demons like you think of like movies and stuff, you know. Demons are not crazy. They act crazy. To do what? Draw you out there. They're trying to draw you out there so you'll get involved in yelling at them. And how loud you talk won't get rid of a demon. You don't have to talk loud for them to hear you. They hear you right well. They're going to hear you real good when you're talking to them. They hear me now. They're not stupid. Demons are very intellectual. They act crazy. Because crazy acting folk get away with stuff. You ain't recognize that by now? That crazy folk get away because folk don't want to deal with them. They crazy, man. Let them go on through. They just want to go to the front of the line. That's all they want. They act crazy to get to the front of the line to leave before you. So you got to stay calm and don't separate the person from the activity. See, the person is really there and they're very conscious. They're aware. You can talk to them. Don't try to let the demon make you believe I got this person under my control and they're not doing anything unless I let them. That's a lie. You know, they manifesting because it's a spiritual force going on that's making them. It's like if you kicked over a nest of wasps. I mean, everything gonna come scattering out, you know. And that's what happens when you begin to fast and pray and seek God. It's normal for the spiritual world to begin to reverberate because you're kicking over beehives. So you got a lot of wasps and ants and insects coming out. They're just everywhere. They're frenetic. So you can't get all, oh God, what have I kicked over? My God, out of respect. No, you can't get like that, man. Relax. Relax. Get yourself a good night's sleep. If somebody full of demons in your house, they didn't just get there last week. They might be manifesting, but they've been there all along. What difference does it make? So we got to be able to focus in on targets, stay down in prayer and fasting, and invite and invoke the presence of God to do the work. God has no problem throwing demons out, but here's the key. When you're dealing with soul ties and any other demonic bondage, all the conditions for deliverance have to be met. Because demons are legalist. You can't make them go from any place they have a legal right to be. Well, what about the Gadarene demoniac? Jesus cast him out with power. Yeah, but the Gadarene demoniac threw himself down at Jesus' feet and worshipped him. He yielded to the Son of God and presented himself for deliverance. I think it's another scripture. What is that scripture? That's Mark chapter 5, the one gathering the money at, but it's either Luke. Is it Luke or Matthew? Where you find it's two gathering the money at. Have you read that two men possessed with a demon came down from Gadara? And Tom and I were just discussing this in the kitchen a minute ago. Hey, it's probably more than likely one of them came to him and the other one didn't. Because one apostle talks about two of them, and Mark just tells about the one. He got delivered because he came and threw himself down at the master's feet and begged for deliverance. So what I'm saying is conditions must be made right. How is that possible? Repentance, which is acknowledging your sin and forsaking it. Now here's where we get messed up right here. I'm going to leave you with this before we pray against these forces. Here's where we get messed up. When I say acknowledge your sin, folk want to blow that off. You can't keep anything hidden and expect to be delivered.
That's right.
If you've committed adultery against your husband or wife, you got to put it on the table. That's what folks don't want to do. I've seen people walk away from the ministry, walk away from the truth, because I'm not willing to tell my husband or wife I committed adultery. That marriage will never get right. You can pretend all you want to, but you got a secret thing hidden in a closet like a skeleton that never lets that thing be totally honest, pure, and open. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. That's why people don't like this kind of gospel, because it doesn't allow you to hide out. God turns the spotlight right on your mess and says, confess. At 19, I murdered a little baby. I got a 17-year-old girl to go down to the abortion room and murder a baby. I am guilty of murder in the first degree. I put it on the altar before God, ask for your forgiveness, and to cleanse me from the act of murder. That's how you got to come. I'm not here to try to fool around with my own salvation. Against thee, God, and thee only have I sinned. Pride won't let you do it. And people try to, why you think it's so many weird people in church? They got something to hide. Why do you think people try to pull people away from church? Defile family members so they won't go. Try to keep them from going into the light. Because they've got something to hide. Folks have done all kinds of dirt. They are trying to hide. They still have soul ties and covenants cut with the demons, so they won't come to the light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. He that does truth comes to the light, that is, he may expose his deeds, that they are wrought in righteousness. This ain't rocket science, y'all. God is not trying to keep us bound by the demons. He says, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and I am just to forgive your sins. And not only that, I will also cleanse you from every unrighteous act you committed. You can't get a better deal than that. All he requires me to do is confess. You know what confession is? All it is acknowledging what God already knows out of my mouth. It ain't like God, oh, I can't believe you did that. This is amazing. I can't believe you did this mess. He already knows what you did. But here's what we don't want people to know what we did. I don't want you to know what I did. And you stay bound in sin, bound in iniquity, bound in darkness, chained by Satan because of what I've done. I've had young ladies call me, you know, who've gone through all kinds of things, you know, pregnancies and stuff. I said, look, whatever you do, don't condemn yourself. Don't feel shame and guilt. Confess it before God. Let God clean out the sin and you live for God. Nobody's here to bind you. We're not here to condemn you. Jesus found people caught in the very act of adultery. You're talking about a woman sitting there with possible the remnants of the sex running down her leg. I'm being very graphic, but I'm just telling you what was standing in front of it. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus is not in the business of binding folk and sending them to hell. He comes to set the captive free. Stop fooling around with this. Hell is hot. Heaven is real. Hell is hot. Don't go. Don't go. Folks sit up doing all kinds of filthy sin and think they're getting a free pass. Condemned in their mind, damaged in their emotions, mind warped, half crazy, all because I won't come clean. And then they try to come clean around folk and try to act like they're trying to live right and trying to say stuff to impress folk. Nobody's interested in what you're doing. You need to confess your stuff to God. And if you got a person you're married to, you need to get it right with them. Because that's a covenant cut. A marriage covenant is not like any other kind of a covenant. Nothing like a marriage covenant. The two become one flesh. That's rough. If you go out there and have sex outside of marriage, when you had sex with that person, every person you joined with in sex, you married them. But you can theoretically have 20 husbands or 20 wives. You're Solomon. Solomon was basically crazy. Soul was scattered from here to hell with all those women. So what I'm saying is, all these husbands and wives in your soul, now you're dealing with every demon from every sexual partner, every curse from every bloodline of the sexual partner, all the sexual partners that sexual partner joined themselves to, all the soul ties with all the demons from all those covenants and all those ramifications from all those curses and all those affiliations and all the things that they've done and their families have done. Man, please, your soul and your mind will become chop suey. And this is why people sit disempowered, unable to do anything progressively. They're chained up to other folks, souls, demons, covenants. They sworn allegiance to folks and things, taken vows, pronounced curses over themselves through their own words. Curses of other folks have been pronounced over them. Your mama calling you stupid, dumb, ignorant, you'll never be anything. It goes on and on. And Christ says, I've come to set you free. Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death. I got to get out of this and into Christ. Notice how coming out of Egypt, there's always a sea or a river to cross that separates another land. From Egypt, cross the Red Sea to the wilderness. From the wilderness, across the Jordan River to the Promised Land. You got to cross over. You got to cross over regions of water that set boundaries between lands. So you got to see the Red Sea is the Blood Sea, separating you from the world and Pharaoh's army, the demons. The wilderness is where I'm washing and regenerating. I cross the Jordan River, and the river washes my sins downstream. See, a sea sits and it doesn't flow. But a river is washing me clean because it's flowing over me, taking my sins downstream. That's where the scapegoat comes into effect, and it takes my sins away. Now I'm suitable for the promised land, which is the land of promises. I need to inherit the promises God made to me and see them actualized in my life. Soul ties are real. Soul ties will bind you. A lot of folks listening right now by live stream who will hear this CD later, your major problem is you can't get free from that silly preacher you set up under. You've drug out inordinate affections about how you paid your tithe money to this numbskull, and now you come over to something real and God is saying, okay, finance the real and let's go. No, I'm not going for that again. I find if I bring up money, folks revert back to this crazy junk they were in. Well, this is not that. You see how the devil has incapacitated your operation in the real by binding you in the false. Now your false memories of the false and how it did you won't let you be progressive and move on in your own life. I talk to people about coming out of the paradigms of Satan. How Satan had designed an economic system, a political system. Every system he's designed is designed to actually confine you and define you so you can't progress. Folks have more faith in the devil's system that is actually about to be destroyed and won't move. I'm trusting my 401k. Don't you know what happened with people with 401ks a few years ago? The millions that were lost. A guy told me the other day, he said, look, I'm about to be 60-something years old. All the money invested in 401ks and retirement was wiped out. I got to work to 70, 72 years old to try to get up enough money to retire on now because 10 years of my life was wiped out. And you trust that. You believe in that?
That was on purpose.
That's crazy. Move. Get with God. Get out. Find a new thing. The devil has brainwashed folk to make them believe anything outside of what I design is a trick. Somebody was telling me the other day about a pyramid scheme or a Ponzi scheme. Dealing with network marketing and distribution through networks that are not within the devil's system of how he does things. I said, you won't find one thing in this country or on earth that's not set up like a pyramid. Mm-hmm. Not one.
Everything's network.
On the top of Walmart, you know what you're going to find?
Sam Walton's
kids. Mm-hmm. Walmart is nothing but a distribution network. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Every store you're looking at is the same way.
That's right.
On the top of the Marriott chain of hotels, you know what you're going to find? Mr. Marriott and his son.
Uh-huh.
Going in the lobby of any Marriott hotel, you know what you're going to see in the lobby? The picture of Mr. Marriott and his son. You see how the brainwashing is? The devil has defined how things operate. Anything not like what he set up is not right, and I'm suspicious of it. One thing I know, to keep doing the same thing that's failing is the very definition of insanity. The leprous men, four of them said, we're dying of leprosy sitting here. We might as well go to the enemy's camp and take their stuff. Why sit here until we die? If you're poverty stricken, if you got nothing, if you're living hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck, half dead, what do you have to lose?
Nothing.
You see how that is? I got nothing to lose. Well, I'm just scared of what? Your own shadow? I'm going over here and I'm with Esther. If I perish, bless God, I'll perish over there. Because I know I'm perishing right here.
Yes, sir.
What am I saying? If you want a different outcome, do a different thing. Soul ties are always germane to the familiar.
Yes, right.
You stay bound in a soul tie because you stay in the same groove all the time. Mm-hmm. And you never break camp. Mm-hmm. Man, get about saving some souls. Get about finding out from God, what can I do in a real participatory way to save some souls? Bible study, I can lead. What can I do, God, to really be an impact on a soul, to save some souls? And God is not shy. God's going to begin to show you what you can do to save souls for real. He's not down here trying to damn people. He's trying to save people. Soul ties are binding the body of Christ down, and folks cannot move for these soul ties. And I'm finding out it's like a spider has spun all these webs into their minds. And you know what happens? If you took like 25 spiders just spinning webs in your mind, and every line of web is another thought pattern. Whatever you're talking to a person bound with soul ties, you tell them a simple thing, guess what will happen?
Something else.
They have 5,000 thoughts.
Yeah.
Say, hey man, bring me that glass of water right there. You want it on a tray? Should I go and refill it first? Do you want water with some coloring in it? Do you want it to be cool water, warm water, salt water, fresh water? You want it from the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific? You want it from the Mediterranean? Should I go and get it from the tap, or do you want it from a jug from the store? Do I need to go to the store first and buy some water? Do you want distilled water? Do you like water? Do you want water? Do you really want water? Would you prefer Kool-Aid? Look, man, forget it. Forget it, man. It's real. I'm telling you. You can tell a person a three-step thing to do. That thing will turn into chaos in their minds, because they got so many spun webs in their minds. Simplified thinking is the dictates of Christ. The apostle says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the simplicity that is in Christ. He said, I'm amazed. You done been bewitched by some nut, some wacko. And Christ is so simple, and you've complicated the whole deal. You know what gives you evidence that the mind is simple? Folk don't talk a lot. Simple minds with simple thoughts don't talk a lot. I ain't got nothing to say. I'm not thinking. See, people who think a lot talk a lot. People don't think that much and just think real simple thoughts. They'll tell you what they want you to know, and that's it. We don't keep going on and on. And you know, yesterday my brother, he came by. You know, my sister, she was over the other day too. And you know, my mama, she called me. You know, I was thinking when I talked to my mama about, you know, you might need some shoes too. I got to go down to the store on Friday to get myself some shoes, because I need some shoes to wear with that new dress I got. And that new dress I got, oh yeah, that dress is in the cleaners. I got that dress at the cleaners also, because I got to go to a wedding on Saturday. And you know, Saturday when they had that wedding, I don't know if I'll eat that cake, because I'm kind of allergic to that stuff they make them cakes out of. So I better bring my own pie with me, so I won't eat that cake. But you know that cake, look, man. No one cares. You ever talk to somebody who can't get a word in edgewise?
Yeah.
They go from subject to subject, topic to topic, and you're thinking, hey, excuse me, you can just put the phone down and just go to the store, go downtown, go all across, go, fly to Europe, come back, take a cruise, come back, go to Japan, go to the moon, come back about 8 months later, pick the phone back up, and they still talking. That's crazy. Soul ties will convolute, complicate, and make your mind chaotic. Man, get out of here. Break the soul ties. The world is a chaotic, crazy place. So let's stand now. We'll come against these soul ties. Bind them, break them. Command the demons to go. Remember the 7 days of every month leading into the conference. We are fasting and praying. We started this month in February. March, the first 7 days we go again. Followed by April, the first 7 days we go again. Right up to the conference. We're dealing with soul ties. The itinerary for the conference is, we come in here for fellowship Friday night. We do have a video presentation we're going to show you about signs of the end of time that night. Praise and worship. Six Flags on Saturday, come back Saturday evening for prayer, followed by deliverance service. Sunday morning service, praise and worship again, followed by a message on the filthiness and the calamity that pride brings into lives, and how much we deal with pride that has to be cast down, followed by dismissal and all of us going back home. But see, it's all about fellowship that's not defiled with infiltrating spirits. It's nothing worse than to get a bunch of saints together trying to enjoy the dictates of Christ, his rulership, and his fellowship, and contrary spirits in the midst trying to defile people. Chaos and calamity. And we war against the demons to keep them on the outside and keep us on the inside. That's what it's all about. Soul ties with things on the outside will bring you into the confines of the camp of the saints, where the influence is from the outside over here with the saints with a bunch of calamity. It's time to head that off into the past and keep it out while we can. Let us all join hands. If you're listening by live stream, raise your hands where you are. And you can make these confessions also. Whatever.
It died.
It clocked out?
Yeah.
It's on tape here. They'll catch it on CD later. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come before you right now, God, dealing with soul ties and allegiances and all kinds of affiliations and attachments with things outside of the paradigm that you've set up as the body of Christ. God, demons are looking to make inroads. I hate demons. I don't like demons. Because demons are not clean. They're nasty. They come in the midst of a person's soul trying to make sure the person never makes it to Christ. And I'm trying to make sure they are condemned and damned to hell forever. So God, we're asking you right now by the working of the power and the might of the mighty Holy Spirit to drive these inordinate, filthy, unclean demons away. And God, don't let them have any roots or take any preeminence in our souls. Soul ties to unclean spirits. Soul ties to sexual partners, parents, family members. Soul ties that come through unforgiveness. Soul ties that come from unrepentant sin. Soul ties that come from inordinate sexual perversions, anal, oral, and sodomite sex.
Yes, Lord.
God, in the name of Jesus, break the bands of wickedness and release the body of Christ from the confinements of soul ties. In Jesus' name. God, right now we come before you. And we confess anything you bring to mind concerning soul ties.
Yes, Lord.
Any person, place, or thing that binds us.
Yes, Lord.
Things that we've joined to. Things we've cut covenant with.
Yes.
Things we've worshipped.
Yes.
Things our souls have been knit together with.
Yes, Lord.
Introduced to perversion by that first person.
Yes, Lord.
And it bound me to the perverse spirit in them.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. God, release me from the bondage of these soul ties. In Jesus' name. Now every person quietly before the Lord, confess whatever you believe might be a soul tie that binds you to some person, place, thing, activity, organization, church allegiance, church alliance, church membership, whatever it is. What you want to do is get your soul free from whatever binds you to the devil. Who cares what it is? Man, I got to get out of here. Some folks have tried sexual stuff that they knew they had no business getting into, doing all kinds of perverse stuff in group sex and taking on two guys or two women or being in rooms with your roommate, both of y'all having sex with your boyfriends, all this stuff going on. And I become just a freak of nature because I bound myself in a covenant of perversion. God, it's time to break these soul ties. Things you saw, things you heard, you smelled, you tasted, and you touched. Drinking semen is a hardcore soul tie. If you've ever ingested semen, you drank the blood of another man raw. And it cut a soul tie, put him in you as a whole man. He's in you like steel. Because you drink bodily fluids from another person. That's drinking raw blood from the orifice of a man. I'm telling you, it ain't pretty. It is what it is. I wish it was nice, but it's not. Soul ties are real. Soul ties are real. God, we confess all these things before the throne of God. Not to be shocking, not to try to be contaminating, but to get it off of us and out of our mouths and flush down this river away from us, not to be defiled by it. In Jesus' name. Now, right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every demon that has had a hold on people because of these soul ties. Every demon spirit within the sound of my hearing, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to go from this place right now. I cast you out of here and away from here in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I cast you out of here and away from here. Pornographic spirits, perverse spirits, unclean spirits. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Images, words, all the things ingested, I command the demons that build these nests inside of the confines of the human body to go from this place right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command you to go. Demons from movies, horror movies, images in movies.
In the name of Jesus,
we cast you out in Jesus' name. I cast you out. I cast you out. I cast you out. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. I cast you out.
Go in the name of Jesus Christ.
I cast you out. Every web, every nest, where you're bound together in a nest, I uproot that nest in Jesus' name. Get out of there, all of you. Get out of there in Jesus' name. Cast you out. Witchcraft. That sorcery that bound her. Anything coming from Brazil, I curse you. Santeria. Yeah, you will. Come up out of there. That Catholic witchcraft working. Come up out of there. Anything coming from Oscar, I curse you. Women that Oscar joined himself to, I break that tie. All the whores that he bound himself to, I loose it from Betty's mind right now. Get out of there. Yeah, you will. Get out of there. Hitherfore you shall go no further. Loose her. At Jezebel's spirit, come up from the root. Roman Catholic Jezebel spirits, curse you. A curse on you. A curse on you. In Jesus' name. Soul ties. God, deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, send your power. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by your spirit. Let your spirit move through this place and break every soul tie. 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 Destroy it, God. Break every soul tie in Jesus' name. Every soul tie. Boyfriends, girlfriends, mother, father, hatred of mothers, hatred of fathers, disrespect for mothers, disrespect for fathers. Break that soul tie. Unforgiveness. Break that soul tie. In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Break that soul tie. Break that soul tie. Tired of carrying this around. Tired of being stymied by it. In the name of Jesus, you demon that's been holding her, that lusted my daddy, that's been binding her, what he let in that house, you that came through her daddy's involvement in pornography and lust, I curse you, sold her into it, sold her daddy for a harlot, sold her my daughter for a harlot, sold my daughter for a drink of wine, curse on you, Jesus' name. God, rend that thing out of the soul. No more fooling around. Tear it out of that soul. Drive it out. Drive it out. Drive it out. Jesus' name. Drive it out. Drive it out. The old inherited Jezebel spirit from my mama. That mama spirit. The curse of a barren womb. Oh, no, you don't. No. The curse of a barren womb. In the name of Jesus, you'll never have a child. You'll never have any babies. You'll never have a baby. In the name of Jesus, I lift this curse off of her. I lift this curse off of her. You'll never be married. Cause you'll never get married. Because you're my property. This demon that don't want her to get married. I break this hope. I break the hold of that demon. You are my property. I break the hold of this thing. You'll never be married in Jesus' name. You'll never have a family. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you. You're rejected. You are rejected. Lose her. Lose her. Lose her. This curse, a curse of a barren womb. I destroy this yoke. The yoke shall be taken from off of her neck because of the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, set them free. Soul ties. Soul ties. Soul ties. In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
God, right now, as we make the conditions right, as we move across through prayer and fasting, God, seeking. Seeking freedom. Fasting and praying with a purpose. We want to be free from the damage done by soul ties. God, rend the devil from our midst. Cast him out. Cast him out.
In
Jesus' name. Everybody pray this one last prayer with me. Heavenly Father,
right now,
I renounce
every curse
spoken over me by my mother,
my father,
old sexual partners, boyfriends and girlfriends, controlling spirits, pastors, church leaders, friends, family members, negative words, destroying words, limiting words, all curses. spoken over me. I disallow them.
I disempower
them.
I renounce
them.
They will not
have effect over me.
Only the word of God
has dominion
over me.
My mind is clear.
My mind is focused.
My mind is set.
I will
live
and not die.
In Jesus' name.
I
offer up God a praise offering and thank you. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. We will live and we will not die. For Maisha, for Vinny, we curse you. For the young lady needing deliverance today, we curse those demons. We break the hold. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to live and not die. In Jesus' name. We're going to live and not die. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You're not going to take over our minds. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's going to wrap it up for this week. If you're listening by way of the broadcast, we look forward to seeing you here in April 26th through 28th. Any help for the ministry contributions can be made to the over the Omega website, www.omegaministries.org, or by mail, Omega Ministries, P.O. Box 960146, Riverdale, Georgia 30296. The war continues. We will not bow to the devil's dictates. We will not cease in praying, fasting, and attacking. We're going on the offense. We've been on the defense long enough. We're not taking not one more step back. The devil must be cast out. Jesus said, now the prince of this world must be cast out. Tired of people bound, limited, held at bay by a bunch of renegade fallen angels that have no business even being down here. This is not right, and it can't go any further. God must raise up an army that will stand and fight. And we are that army. We're a salvation army. See you back here next week. Have a good week. Keep in prayer. Remember, the first 7 days of every month into April in preparation for the New Church Order Conference. We appreciate you listening. Have a good week. Love everybody. Be blessed. Thank you.